shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Welcome to our online worship at Christ Community Church this morning. If you don't know me, my name is Mike, and I am the pastor here. I'm so glad that you're joining us. Thank you for joining us again. If Christ Community is your home, I've missed you terribly, and we'll be able to see each other here in the next few weeks. If you're somewhere else, and especially today, if you don't have a church home, I just want to make you feel most welcome. I'm so glad that you're with us today. We are so glad that you're with us today. We want you to know that you're not joining in worship today by accident. There is a God, there is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who has brought you into this today by his Spirit through Christ to the glory of the Father. It is with purpose that God brought you today. It's not by accident, not by chance. I want you to know that. And as we continue to worship God this morning, don't think you just tripped into this. I'm so glad that you're here. Hey, if you got a second to just hit share on your Facebook feed there and share our worship with your friends, I want to invite you to do that. So let's join together. Let's praise the Lord a little bit this morning. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. That really gets at the heart of the good news that I have for you today. Today we're starting our summer sermon series in the letters of John. And we're calling this series, So You Will Know. So You Will Know. You see, John, over 21 times in 1 John, it's a short letter, over 21 times he says, you know. Like, you already know this. You wonder how you can know that you know God? Let me tell you. Let me remind you, John says. And we're going to be working our way through that throughout the summer. As we do that, we have the great honor and delight to be able to work through this sermon series with two other churches, Ross Reformed in Gary and Faith Church in Kankakee, and their pastors, Sean and Alan. And so as we gather to pray for each other this morning, we're also going to be praying for them. They're facing a lot of the same things that we're facing. And we have a great opportunity to be able to share in the word of the Lord with other Christians this year, even though we don't know them, and some of us will never meet any of them, but we'll be able to join in fellowship in the Lord Jesus. We're going to talk about fellowship in Jesus today. As we move into our time of prayer, I just want to remind you that we don't pray for no reason. We don't pray because there's some like just mysterious power that happens when humans pray or meditate or something like that. We pray because our living God hears us, and he promises to hear us, and he makes that promise known, and he meets us where we are in Christ. Everything the Apostle Paul says that all of God's promises are yes in Jesus. And so we can go boldly before his throne and pray, knowing that he hears us, knowing that he's listening to us, no matter what it is. Now, Facebook Live allows you to comment in real time, so I want to invite you to share some prayer requests if you have any. Be reminded that it's not private here on Facebook. So we have some things we're going to pray for over the congregation this morning already. But if you have something that you'd like to add to that list, I'll try to keep an eye on that. The way that this is going to go is I'm going to begin our prayer time by actually reading a little bit of scripture and launching into prayer from there. I'm going to be reading from Isaiah chapter 57, starting in verse 14. And then when we finish, when I finish praying over the the church and our community and all of our prayer requests, I'm going to lead us in the Lord's Prayer. And I'm just going to invite you wherever you're at to out loud or to yourself, just pray the Lord's Prayer with me. I'm so glad that we get to do this together this morning. How awesome it is that we can't be gathered in the same place this morning, we are gathered in the same spirit before the throne of heaven. And that is a mighty and amazing and incredible fellowship that we have in Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. It shall be said, build up, prepare the way. Remove every obstruction from my people's way, for thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry. For the spirit would grow faint before me in the breath of life that I had made. Oh God, I praise you that even in your anger over sin, your righteous anger over our sin, you make this promise. You make this promise, and you have fulfilled this promise in Christ so that we can have access and fellowship with you this morning. You say, build up, prepare the way. Lord, prepare the way of our hearts. Open our eyes and open our ears to your word this morning that we would be transformed by it. Holy Spirit, be pleased to turn our worlds upside down because of your word. And Lord, forgive us. Forgive us of those deep places in our lives that we have yet to release to you, yet to grab hold of Christ in faith. Lord, you know better than we do what those places are. Lord, ask, won't you peel back the veil a little bit today and show us. Your word says we don't have anything to fear in that because of Jesus. So show us so that we could run to you and be overwhelmed by your presence. Lord, I thank you for your sustaining, providing hand in our lives. And in our congregation and in our community. Where I pray over our city and I pray over our world right now, struggling with issues of righteousness and justice. Lord, you are just, you are faithful, and you are the only hope of the world. Lord God, soften our hearts toward each other, toward our neighbor. That we would really be signs of your kingdom, signposts pointing to you, pointing to Jesus, and that we would be given real peace, not just what we settle for in this world. Lord, I pray for Thelma, who had a seizure the other day. Lord, tend to her body. We ask that you would lift her up. Thank you for the way that you have sustained her life. Lord, give her doctors and her nurses wisdom on how to care for her, how to keep this from happening again. Lord, I thank you for all that you have done in our midst. I thank you for the way that you have been providing the means and also the motivation to provide a welcoming, hospitable place for people to come and worship you. Lord, thank you for the work that was done yesterday. Thank you for the work that is ahead of us. Lord, let us glorify you in it. Lord, we ask that you would continue to lay your hand on Stuart's dad who recovers from his accident. Lord, we pray that your mighty hand would be upon the congregation at Ross Reform today, who for the first time in months is gathering for worship. Some are gathering, some are still at home doing online worship, just like we will. Lord, I ask that you would empower and embolden Pastor Sean for the glory of your gospel. Let those who do not know Jesus come to know him, have their lives changed. And Lord, I pray over Faith Church in Kankakee and Pastor Allen too in the preaching of your word. They are going, and the preparations they're making to open up gathered worship inside. They're doing it outside today, but gathered worship inside next week. Lord, do the same work you're doing in us. Do it in them and let your word go forth. Lord, and let your word go forth in this city. Lord, as Wes across the street is proclaiming your gospel to the people at the Nazarene Church, let lives be changed. As they do the same at Aboit Baptist and Emmanuel and the Chapel and Southwest Lutheran and the Latino Church around the corner, Lord, and Lifewater and every other gospel-proclaiming church in this city, Lord, let your word go forth. Let people's lives be changed. Let our city be changed. Let us be changed by it. God, we pray comfort on those who are mourning and suffering from loss. Not just those who have recently had loss, but those who are still grieving from a loss last year or the year before or the year before that. You know who they are, Lord. Lord, I especially ask that for your hand to be upon Kitty and Rich today, mourning the loss of Kitty's nephew. Sustain them and provide for them as they have a funeral next week. Lord, we pray that in this time of unrest and in this time of uncertainty, that your mighty hand would come upon us. Yes, Lord, we ask that you would put a stop to the virus that has affected our world so deeply and so in so many ways. Lord, we also ask for your hand upon those who are pushed to the margins economically already and now are in terrible situations. Lord, we ask that you would protect and provide for those who are giving care for those who are sick. Continue to protect them. Lord, and give our leaders wisdom at the local, at the state, at the national, and even at the world level. Give them wisdom. Lord, give them humility. Give them righteousness in Christ. And whoever has yet to submit their lives to Christ, we pray over them, and we ask that they would. Lord, we know that we can bring all these things to you. And we know that your word says that you You are delighted to give more than we ask or think. So it's with great joy that we come before you. And we pray in the words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to the first letter of John. It's towards the end of your Bible, if you don't know. It's 1 John is right before 2 John, of course. But it is also right after 2 Peter. So it's just a little farther on than where we were last week. And if you go a little past 1 Peter, we're going to read out of the ESV, the English Standard Version, that is. And if you, once again, if you don't have a Bible of your own, I want to invite you to get a hold of me. My email is available, probably going to be in the comments here. Somebody will put it up. And it's available on the website. Please get a hold of me. We want you to have the Word of God, and we have a Bible for you. This Word is the Word of God. I talked about it last week. It's that quote that I quoted last week, that this is the Holy Spirit's book that we're reading. And it vibrates, it pulsates with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as I begin reading, I'm going to say, hear the word of the Lord. That's not just something that we repeat to make ourselves feel better. It's not just some religious thing. This is the word of the Lord, and he'll turn your world upside down with it. And when we finish, I'll say, this is the word of the Lord. And I'm going to invite you in that moment, just wherever you're at, to just praise God. Say thanks be to God. Say thank you, God. It's an incredible thing that God would actually speak to us, y'all. It is an incredible thing. Let's not take that for granted. I'm going to read the first chapter of 1 John. So 1 John 1, 1 to 10. Hear the word of the Lord, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and we testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things to you so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him, and we proclaim to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, take your word. Holy Spirit, take your word this morning. and powerfully move in our hearts. That we would not settle for anything less than Jesus. As the Apostle John wrote and compels us, don't let us settle for anything less than Jesus. Lord, I don't know what everyone else's expectations are this morning, and I've been dealing with my own. Lord, forgive us for the way that we come to worship and we don't expect to encounter you. Lord, if what John says is true here, then we find ourselves in your presence right now. And we will be changed by it. We take hold of that promise right now. Open our eyes, open our ears. Give us hearts that understand. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we praise and we thank you. Amen. Amen. You know, if you haven't guessed already this morning, we're going to be talking about fellowship. The fellowship, it has to do with sharing or communing in the life of God. And as a consequence of that communing with God, that fellowship extends with the rest of God's people, the church. I've been thinking, church, you know, we are a peculiar and strange people in more ways than one. See, we share in the deepest fellowship imaginable in Christ. But sometimes because of our own selfishness or because of desires that other people would think that we're good people, or even because of past hurts and pain in our lives, we tend to settle for fellowship, I'm going to say fellowship light. Some of the great taste, but less filling, if you get my meaning. It doesn't take up so much energy. We settle for the appearance of fellowship. But this, my friends, is when we really are in danger of hurting each other. Do you know that? All the stereotypical things about hypocrisy in the church, they come out when we settle for fellowship light. We gossip and we slander. And we sin wickedly against each other, and we rationalize it all away. There are many listening to my voice who carry the deep wounds and scars of fellowship light, even if you don't recognize it that way. And many of those same people have passed on those hurts to others because it's just what you've known about being in church and about living the Christian life in the context that you've been in. But we're not talking about fellowship light today. Because John wants us to know that the true fellowship we have with God through Jesus, it both exposes and it heals all our sin. It exposes and it heals all of us, our entire being. Now look, we're just starting out a new book of the Bible, and you often get a good sense of what a book of the Bible is about if you just read the very beginning and the very end. And so we're going to do that here for a second, okay? John jumps right in. He doesn't give a greeting, nothing like that. He just starts with Jesus. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which we have touched with our hands concerning the word of life." To really know God, you need to know Jesus. And not only some facts about Jesus, Jesus himself, the person, the Son of God. When John starts by saying that which was from the beginning, he's talking And he's talking about what he saw and what he touched. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the eternal life from God. He is the true life of God who showed up and showed out in this world. It is Jesus, and in Jesus, all blessings flow. Now, the letter actually ends in a weird way. The very last verse, chapter 5, verse 21, John just says, I mean, no ending, no goodbye, just says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. He didn't talk about idols at all in the letter. It's kind of weird. But you see, the reason that John ends this way is really quite simple. He starts with Jesus in the letter, and he ends by reminding us, don't settle for anything less than Jesus. Don't settle for anything less than him. See, this letter is not a message just about Jesus. The message is Jesus. And we're gonna talk about that through the whole summer. Everything else you might hope in is false. It's a false hope. It's an idol. So don't set your eyes on some other savior. Don't settle for less than Jesus. John continues in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. He says that he wrote so that those who read this letter would have fellowship with us, he says. I can only imagine he's talking about the apostles, the one who saw Jesus and touched him and heard his voice. But not just fellowship with them, fellowship with God, the Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say, because I want this to sink in. The hope of the Christian is not primarily to go to heaven when you die. That isn't the primary Christian hope. That's what we talk about all the time. That's what you would think. But the primary Christian hope is to have eternal fellowship with God himself. And because you have eternal fellowship with God himself, you have fellowship with all of his children. And John is so psyched up about that kind of fellowship, that he wants those who read to share his joy. And when when other people share John's joy, he says, it makes our joy complete. Delighted to share his delight. So what does this kind of fellowship with God and with one another look like? Look at verse 5. John says, this is the message we have heard from him, and we proclaim to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Oh, my friends, this is great news. This is such great news. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. John, you see, John is doing something very important for us, and he's going to do it a lot more throughout this letter. He isn't telling us just what God is like in some roundabout way. And he's not just giving a description of how God acts. Those things are important, by the way. He's telling us, though, who God is. In verse 9, he's going to do the same thing when he says that God is faithful and just. You see, God doesn't just have these attributes. The attributes of God describe who he is. This is what I mean. He's not just a God who dwells in light. He is light. He's not just a God who acts justly and faithfully. He is justice and faithfulness. And he is all of these things perfectly. He never changes, and he's never anything less than this. That's good news. We're going to talk about that good news. It means there's no on-off switch in the light of God. It also means we can't be near him without being in the light. And there are massive implications to that truth. The rest of chapter 1, verses 6 to 10, talks about those implications. John says, if we have fellowship with him, if we say we have fellowship with him, but we walk in darkness, if we're settling for fellowship light, we're lying. And not just a lie here or there. We're practicing lies. We continue to lie. There is no truth in us. The flip side of that is verse 7. But if we walk in the light, since God is in the light, then we are living in continual fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, like an ever-flowing stream, continues to cleanse us from all sin. Look, okay, if you're not a Christian and you're listening today, and maybe even if you are a Christian, you might be surprised to hear me say what I'm about to say. There are deep, dark places in every Christian's life, every Christian's life, where faith hasn't quite reached that place, or faith hasn't worked itself out fully. We call that reality indwelling sin. It's just, it's just a kind of a fancy term, or a theological term, not a fancy term, a theological term for talking about that reality that there's just places in my life that where I don't act in faith. And I need to grab hold of Jesus. What does John say about that? Look at verse 8. He says, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. Again, he's not just talking about the past, but about what's the ongoing situation in the present. If you say you have no sin, you are deceiving yourself. Having the truth in us means that we will acknowledge our ongoing struggle against indwelling sin. Anything less than that is living self-deception. Now, what does that mean? Look at verses 9 and 10. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, we don't find a God who says, I told you so, or just shakes his head in disgust or disappointment. How many of you, when you close your eyes and you think about how God actually looks at you and sees you, what's the look on God's face? See, John's telling us that what we mostly default to, that disappointed look on God's face, that's not true at all. When we go to God, we find that God is faithful and just. Again, God doesn't just do faithful and just things. He is faithful and just. That means he never fails to forgive and cleanse the one who confesses. He is light. The uttermost reaches of your sin and your very soul are exposed in his presence. That's a scary thing. But John says he is faithful and just. He also heals you to the uttermost reaches of your soul. God says you have a problem with sin every day. And sin, by the way, is not the same thing as having mistakes in your life. Jesus did not die for mistakes. He died for sin. If you accept what God says about you is true, you're also going to find the great news that God is true to himself, faithful and just to forgive. But if you won't accept it, if you won't accept God's word against your sin, if you say you have no sin, then you are saying that God himself is a liar. There is no gray area here. John doesn't leave any wiggle room. And if you're saying that God is a liar, his word cannot be in you. You do not have fellowship with him. I'm not just talking about the occasional complaint against God here. talking about the fundamental, your fundamental, like, stance before God. See, most of us act like we only need to repent on the off chance that we sin. And when we do confess and repent, we don't push past the surface sin, do we? Now, don't get me wrong. You definitely should confess and repent when you do some sinful act, whether in thought or in deed. But that act is only the fruit of what is the reality of your heart. You don't sin because you had a momentary loss of control, but because there is something wrong at the control center, at the root. You know, this morning I was getting ready for worship a couple hours ago, and the power dipped out in here, like throughout the whole building. But then it came back on. And I noticed that our internet connection wasn't coming back on. And I got up and I investigated that, and I realized that there were parts of our building that were not, that had no power. And I went through and I checked and I reset all the breakers. We have a ton of them in this building. I worked through it. I started to like get a little bit nervous. It took a while, and nothing helped. That power, I couldn't get that power to go back on. And finally, I was walking through the lobby and I noticed a truck out in our parking lot from the electric company. And I don't know what he did. I was going to go out and I was going to say something to him, but he just got in his truck and he left. And after he did, I noticed that the things that didn't have power before had power. It wasn't in the apparent things. It wasn't in, I have no idea why part of this building had no power and part of it and most of it did. But the cause of that was actually at the root. It was at the power center, the control center out there. It wasn't even in this building. See, we need to learn to confess and repent for who we try to be apart from God. That's the root of our sin. And that is a much deeper work than just that surface. But I have good news for you. You can run to Jesus, in whom all blessings flow, and you can find forgiveness and deep fellowship with God there. If you are in Christ today, if Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, right now you are set free in Him. But until the day Jesus returns, not a moment will go by that you do not need His cleansing blood. Our whole lives need to be submitted to Jesus. And God, oh, praise God, He takes His time with us. In His own time, and in His amazing grace, the Holy Spirit just peels back the onion of our lives. Onion is a great metaphor here because it's got all the layers and it stinks. He peels those layers back. He shows us that repentance is not about submitting when we happen to sin, but submitting who we are ever more deeply, continually applying the deep healing blood of Jesus and continually calling us to apply faith to every corner of our souls. That, my friends, is what we call sanctification. It's sanctification. And it is a continual and lifelong process for every Christian. The fellowship we have with God through Jesus, it both exposes and it heals our sin. That is exactly why I'm saying today, and I will say throughout all the summer, and I'll probably just say it for the rest of my life, don't settle for anything less than Jesus. Don't settle for anything less than Him. I mean, look, if this isn't all a bunch of just religious language we use to make ourselves feel better. I mean, if we really come into contact with the presence of God Himself, what is it that you expect? Do you really think that things are going to stay the same? I mean, if you don't have Jesus in every nook and cranny of your life, what do you expect to see when God flips that light on? Or when you step into his presence and everything is exposed? What do you expect? When we do not remind ourselves of who God is, we get fellowship light. We make it look like we're walking in the light of Christ, but we're hiding deep darkness in our lives, and we don't actually encounter the God who could heal us at the deepest places. And we don't ever get close enough to anyone else for them to point out that we're doing that either. That's why it's so amazing. You know, John isn't just talking about me and God. He's talking about me and God and all of you. At the same time, we have fellowship together because we have fellowship in Christ, in God. So don't settle. Christian, don't settle for fellowship light. Not in your relationship with God and not in your relationship with other Christians. That's not the reality. And if you're not a Christian today, I don't know what you make of all of this. I do want you to hear this. God tells you the truth. God's word tells you the truth. And God's word also tells you that there's healing for you and that those deep, dark places of your life, there's real healing. And there's really a place for you. I don't know what hurts are in your past. I don't know what's going on in your family. I do know that there's a real place for you in Jesus. All you have to do is turn to him. God, we thank you. God, we thank you and we praise you for this word. Praise you for this letter. I praise you that we have the opportunity to proclaim it and to hear it along with other churches this summer. Lord, make much of Jesus in our lives. Make much of Jesus in our city. Make much of Jesus and turn our worlds upside down. Give us healing in the deep, dark places of our souls. We need it, God. We're desperate for it. We're desperate for it. So many of us are actually ignoring that desperation. Lord, don't let us ignore that anymore. Lord, I pray for the one out there listening this morning that has not taken hold of Christ, has not trusted that Jesus actually is and has done everything that they need to have a real relationship with you and have their lives changed and be healed. Lord, I pray that you would open their eyes and that you would continue to open the eyes of every brother and sister in Christ and make their thirst for your righteousness and for their hunger for Christ more and more and more every moment of their lives. Do that for me, God. I want it. I need it. I need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh. Hey, we have been talking about fellowship with the most generous God. And God makes a people for himself to behold his generosity that is beyond our wildest imagination and make us a people who live that generosity out. So I just want to invite you today, to give of your life, give of your time, give of your bodies, give of your treasure to the work of his kingdom. Not just in the walls of this church, but throughout your week and everywhere you go. We of course welcome any giving that you make to the ministry of Christ's word and the gospel of our Lord here at Christ Community and in this neighborhood. You can always send a check to the church if you cannot be here, but also you can see that you can give online. If you haven't made a practice of giving to the work of God's kingdom, this is a great place to start. Just start. As we close out today, I want to remind you that we are going to be gathering once again for worship on June 21st, 2 weeks from today. Now, we are going to continue live streaming for anyone who's unable to come or not quite ready. It's okay if you are not quite ready. That's okay. We have a place for you. Check out our Facebook page for video updates on what we're doing to get ready. And if you don't get it already, sign up for the weekly snapshot newsletter. All you got to do is go to the website, cccfortwayne.org, and you can a pop-up will come up. You can just sign up right there to get our weekly newsletter. Now, I just want to say before we close this morning, we've been asking ourselves not only what needs to be done before we regather, but what things could we do to make you and those you love and your neighbor who might not know Jesus at all feel most welcome when we come back. And I want to just thank you for everyone who was out at the church helping fix up the property and work here inside trying to get the tech ready so we can live stream worship and so that the building and the grounds are ready. And we are ready. We want to be as hospitable as we possibly can be because that's what God has been to us. Next week, I'm going to begin communicating what you can expect when you come to worship, when you come into this building, when we regather in a couple weeks. Now, we have a lot of ways that you can serve, that you can give generously of your time and of your lives. Coming up, and just even in the next few weeks, we need people to help on the cleanup team and the disinfecting team after we worship. We need help with our tech team because we're going to be doing a few more things than we were before. We need your help. And God is stirring within us a spirit of generosity. My friends, last week I challenged you to pray for your elders and your deacons, and I thank you who have been doing that. Continue to pray 30 days for your elders and deacons. Pray that God would also raise up new elders and deacons. Remember James's words, you do not have because you do not ask. Oh, God will generously fill all of our needs as we ask him. Throughout the week, share and invite people into our worship. Just invite you to do that. And we have small groups and prayer groups, and we have all kinds of ways to have real fellowship with each other here. So if you're wondering about those, just let me know. If you need prayer, reach out. I'm here, and it's my honor to pray for you. So now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen and amen. My friends, go in peace. We love you.